I also want to bow my head with you because I believe God knows why He's putting so many things together at this time. So, Father, without further waiting, we ask that you would just anoint these words to bring forth what you want so that your plan will unfold. In Jesus' name. I found myself a few weeks ago sharing with you about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah 11. And I shared with you the fullness of Christ came when his fullness of the Holy Spirit came into him. And there's a day coming, being prepared by God, that there will be saints who will radiate the light of Christ. And that includes those that have been willing to allow persecution without retribution and without reaction. I want to take you to Romans 8, verse 28, which says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And I stress the word his purpose. It's not all about you. It's his purpose that's involved. "For those God foreknew," verse 29, "he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son." Do not take this as a word lightly. It really means that the next level of Christianity is not a baptism of tongues. It is a baptism of fire that will consume all the flesh that you and I have still been troubled with. How many find themselves wanting to do good and sometimes making it real rough and nosediving? I talked with Pete last night and I was sharing with him my experience the day before taking my car, heading for work, and there's a car in front of me. And there's two lanes, one to go straight or left, and the one to go right. Now, where did this car park or stop at the light? But smack in the middle. Now, I can't go anywhere. I can't go either direction. And of course, as if I'm in a big rush, I'm now angry. And I wanted to say how stupid that driver was that can't make up their minds where they're going. Can you relate? And the Lord, you know, His Holy Spirit is so much on the job, and He says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Lord, I'm upset. I'd like to slap that one on the side of the head." He says, "Why don't you slap yourself? They're not upset, but you are." So where's the change needed? In me. And we laughed because we all have these silly things that we are so justified in supposedly feeling and judging and condemning. But God has a plan. It's supposed to work for good. It's supposed to. Well, it did. Because I then began to pray for the driver. It started off with a little bit of anger, but it began to change as the intercession began to come in. And as I'm driving away, the Lord said, "Don't stop. They're not done yet." And I wanted to say, "Are they going to goof again?" But you can see the human flesh and what it wants to do versus what the Holy Ghost would have you do. So, God foreknew and predestined you to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Did you hear that? Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he also justified. Notice, it's not you justifying yourself. Then he said he justified and he also glorified them. So whose job is it to glorify you? Get off the throne you try to do it, you're going to make a mess. Just like me trying to adjust that driver. As I humbled myself, God began to change my heart. And that's what he wants to do in each and every one of us. What then shall we say? In response to this, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. Verse 37. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's not us loving him, it's him loving us. And when you rely on his love, he'll carry you to the next level. If you're trying to rely on your own love for him, you're going to find that you're going to get frustrated like I did with the driver. And while your attitude towards yourself needs to be adjusted, you're not trusting him to change your heart. Either he's Lord or he's not. Either you're on the job perfecting yourself or he is left without nothing to do because you're trying to do it all. The more you try to do it on your own, he's going to let you struggle until you get worn out. And then you're going to look like a few other fools around trying to clean your own act up when he's already made provision. So the more you struggle and the more you push, you get tired and worn out. They call it, what do they call it? There's a term. Burnout. Well, it should be the other way around. Let the Holy Ghost burn the garbage out of you and you can rest. You can rest. And as you're resting, he will burn the garbage and leave you radiating the light of Christ. That's his purpose. That's the whole reason for you to become like him. And he said, I'll justify you, I'll glorify you, I will do it all. And every saint that I know is struggling and pushing and trying so hard. Close your eyes right now. How many of you find this struggle as something you normally do? Put your hand up and don't look around. All right, all of you with your heads down, say, Lord Jesus, I am going to retire tonight with benefits. I am going to get better than Social Security or a great big retirement package. I'm going to trust you to finish me, to justify me, and to glorify me. You've got such an awesome plan. And I'm going to move out of the way and let the Holy Ghost do it. Because he's so capable if I get out of his way. Hallelujah. I can trust him to do a good work. Because he knew me before I was born. He predestined me. He called me. He prepared me to make me just like his firstborn. And boy, he did a great job with Jesus. He even resurrected him. So if I should go to the grave, even that's not a problem. Amen. Hallelujah. In all these things, 37... we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present or the future nor any powers, neither heights nor depths or anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, just for me. That's the word. Now I want to give you a 2-minute advertisement. Paul Keith Davis will be up at the end of October in this area, and you'll be hearing about it. But his newsletter from August 17th was so on target that I definitely wanted to share a little bit of it with you. He speaks about, we are clearly standing before the dual open doors of opportunity and revelation. One is a horizontal and runs linear through time, leading us into the harvest, and is identified in Revelations 3, 7, and 8. While the other is vertical into the heavens and as identified in Revelations 4, 1. We share details of this perspective in a recent meeting, etc. He said, this intent of this letter is to briefly highlight these perspectives. And many of these revelations will have an initiation, but will run progressively until the end of the age. In the final analysis, there is a remnant company that has been stirred by God's Spirit and is being positioned to step and become anointed authorities for this season. It is a new day. It's a time of unbridled power and authority. We trust these revelations will be blessings, etc. A day of open doors. This is a day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice. Psalms 118. But this is a day of destiny that the Lord has made. We have crossed a threshold in heavenly timeline. The Bible calls it the fullness of time. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, we are now coming to the Feast of Tabernacles in its fullness. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were born under the law, so we might receive the adoptions as sons, Galatians 4, 4 through 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts and cried out, Abba. The central theme of the revelation highlights our position in modern church history and prophetic destiny in God. We are biblically promised a generation who will be, this is you now, are you listening? The greater works creation, John 14. The plumb line, or the capstone generation, Zechariah 4. The restoration of all things, Hebrews 6. The righteous generation, Psalm 14. The generation who will seek his face, Psalms 24. The latter rain generation, Joel 2. The bride revival generation, John 20. The mature sons of the kingdom, Matthew 13. The third day generation, Hosea 6. The fullness generation, Ephesians 4, 13. These will be the sons of the kingdom who will carry the sevenfold Spirit of God that rested on the Lord himself in his perfect example as a son of the kingdom. That's what's coming. Some people think they've got the Holy Spirit and they've got it all. They've got an initiation, a deposit. That's what the scripture says. And those who want to settle with that, God will definitely allow that. That's up to them. I've got people that I know and love that are in the Baptist church and they only know baptism. That's all they know. I've got some Roman Catholic friends who love the Lord, but that's all they know is the religious traditions. And I'm not criticizing them. That's fine. If they're happy, they're going to be great. But when these sons show up, guess who's going to be persecuting them? The ones that think they got it all. And you're going to see history repeat itself. It's already happened, some of you. Some of you have been persecuted because you now have the Lord. Some of you are being slapped in the face spiritually. Some of you are being stabbed in the back because some people can't stand you. All because the Holy Ghost is inside of you and he's working a cleansing. By his fire, he's going to finish his work. And that's what Romans 8 is all about. Jesus says, I have a baptism that you know not of, but he's going to teach you. He's teaching you now. And I could go on in this incredible letter that is so on target with God. I said, you know, Lord, this is so good because this man is teaching the very same thing that my friend Royal Conquest taught me back in 85 and 86. Drove me nuts. I had to get off my high horse and come down where I needed to be on my face before God saying, I can't do this, Lord. Because I thought I was pretty good at that point. Hey, I had been born again, spirit-filled. I mean, I could talk in tongues. I could let my mouth be used for prophecy. I could see the anointing break the yoke. I could see people getting delivered. I could go on and on and on about I. And guess what? Jesus had to come in and get rid of the I of the storm. The eye of the storm was me. And people don't want to mature. I remember Gino pouncing on me. Cam, you got to develop your spiritual senses. You're not discerning. You're not doing what you need to do. You don't see enough. You don't hear enough. You don't speak enough. I could say the same thing to you. And whose fault is it? Because you're so focused on how good you are that you're stuck in the middle of the storm, just like I was. Wake up. Let him perfect you. Let him justify you. He's already done it by his blood. For Pete's sakes, don't try to argue with anybody. If they say you're guilty, say welcome. Yes, I am. But Jesus washed me clean. Agree with your adversary quickly. Knock them off their thrones. Yeah. So, if they find you guilty, hey, what else is new? They found me guilty, they kicked me out. Now, they're asking for what? Forgiveness. Why? Because God is the one that justified me. I didn't try to justify myself. I was angry because the body of Christ was being divided. I was angry and hurt. And God said, enjoy the trip. Can you enjoy being slaughtered? If you don't enjoy it, I'll tell you, it's because you're focused on the moment. If you are letting it happen, that's about as much of enjoyment as you're going to get. Let it happen and let the pieces fall where they may and let the Lord lift you up. Because he will. Now bow your heads. Holy Spirit, they can't do it without your grace. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that by your Holy Spirit and his perfecting fire, you will lift these up where they need to be. You will set them free so that they can walk with you. And they can be used of you to bring forth the kingdom of righteousness that he's already prepared for them to walk in. I give you praise, Father, because it's going to be done by grace alone. We are living in an age of grace, and that age of grace is not done yet. There's plenty more where it came from. I give you all the glory as you continue to recreate these men and women in the image and likeness of the firstborn Son, Jesus Christ himself. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen.